Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, also undefeated at Chili Cook-Off Challenges, but I understand you weren't 100% forthcoming. We got an angry complaint.
Right after the show, I actually thought of, I should have mentioned that I actually, the recipe that I use was written by a guy named Diamond Dave. Uh-huh. And I use his recipe, and that has never failed me. But I thought, I probably took too much credit for my undefeated. I have never lost in Chili Cook-Off. That is true, 100% true. But I have used Dave, his recipe, which Dave is famous now for selling hair extensions. But that's not his biggest
Diamond
attribute.
Diamond Dave that sells hair extensions. When were you going to tell me your buddies with David Lee Roth?
Yep, different Dave.
Okay.
But Dave, who sells hair extensions, he is a great chili maker. That's his one true talent.
All right. This is one true talent. If you had to sum it up and just bring it into the one. All right, so the one true talent of the BYU Cougars this year is that they know how to win ugly.
Very true. We know how to play every game, make it close, and we do know how to win ugly. We know how to win with a lack of a passing attack, which who would have guessed, but that's where we're at right now.
So 20-3 over Cincinnati. Tosh, let's just break this down for a minute. A few things to kind of consider and talk about as it comes to the Cincinnati game. So for you, what's sort of your main takeaway from that?
I'm going to start on the positives.
Yeah.
That I think that, so we were only 7.5 point favorites and we won by 17. So
hey.
I think they were a decent team that we played really well, and we played astoundingly on one side of the ball. Our defense, I've said it over and over, this is a magical year defensively, especially from a turnovers perspective. It's like the 2012 year, this year that we had. They were the number three ranked defense then. This defense statistically gives up more yards, but we also force a lot more turnovers.
Right.
And again, they stopped an FBS opponent from even getting a single touchdown. That is very, very hard to do.
No, they were really good. And obviously, you know, McChesney had the interception. He took it back a long way. We had a short field. We didn't score in that short field. Sorry, we're staying positive. obviously the defense was doing really well. Kafusi.
Yeah.
I thought Corbin Kafusi played a really great game.
He gets better every game.
We had our handsome Tanny Alu moment.
Yep.
Blocked a pass.
Our D-line is actually, they actually looked pretty good. And
they're getting better.
Yeah, that young Warner, I thought, had his best game of the year. But that's where I think the positives end, when we switch to the other side of the ball.
Well, hang on. And I also have to say, it was a little bit illuminating. Gunnar Keel wasn't very good. He had moments where he was okay, but they had times where they could have burned us had they had an accurate passer back there.
Yeah, he's our third quarterback they've tried this year.
Yeah.
But what I will say, he had played well this season until BYU. I think BYU was able to give him some different looks, get him some pressure, was able to throw him off his game. It's the first pick he's thrown all year.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right. I think that part of what made him struggle was that he had BYU breathing down his neck. So, there's that. All right, offensive side of the ball. Listen, we struggled to run the football a little bit. But not only that, our guys got hurt.
Squally got hurt.
Is he done?
From the sounds of it, I don't know exactly, but a broken bone in his hand, which I'm not even sure which hand. So, but it, it, that doesn't sound very great for a running back to have a broken hand, no matter what hand it is. He's probably done for the year.
Yeah, he's probably it. If that's the case, what do you think about Squally Canada next year? 2017 Squally. What's your idea there?
Squally got better every game. Yeah, and believe it or not, I actually think it was between him and Kurtz, between our best offensive player this last week. Kurtz played well.
He did.
Squally had the best yards per attempt out of any of our rushers. And I think Squally will be a legit, you know, player running attack. I don't think he'll ever be where he's the feature back and that we give him 20 to 30 carries a game consistently. But I think the dual threat of him and Burt, I think Burt, that guy is big, that guy's fast. I think those two combined next year will still give us a really potent running attack.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. So you have him as better than a J.J. DeLuigi, Brian Correa.
Correct.
But not as good as...
We've been spoiled with Jamal, and then he's not a Jamal, he's not a Harvey.
He's an Algie? Is he an Algie Brown?
Yeah. I think last year we had a serviceable dual threat attack between Algie and between the man
that's... Francis Bernard?
Yep. And we will have some very different type of players, but also a very competent dual threat rushing attack next year. Squally's good.
But in the importance and the amount that they can contribute to the team, you think this similar output?
Exactly.
Okay. So maybe Squally's done. Jamal got a little banged up.
Yeah. And from a yards per attempt, one of his worst games of the year.
Sure. And the chase after Luke Staley is now over. But still, he had a great stretch there, one of the best stretches in BYU football history. In fact, the best stretch over a 3-4 game period there, better than Luke Staley. But the chase after 2001 Luke Staley is over. Long live Luke Staley, 2001. But... still having a great season. But, yeah, he struggled a little bit. And, Tosh, you know, there comes a certain point where in order to run effectively, you have to pass effectively.
That is what happened this game.
It's what's happened all year, essentially.
Totally.
I mean, whenever he's run well, it's been because he's been able to create it. And teams have been able to, for whatever reason, there have been a couple times this year when teams – have either stacked the box and not tackled well enough or simply didn't get the memo to take away the pass.
Yeah. No, totally. But teams now, every team has that memo now. And so Cincinnati was stacking the box, daring us to throw deep. And we tried a couple times, completed one, had some others that were underthrown. And, yeah, that was the game on offense. They were daring us to pass, and we couldn't do it. And they were stacking the box and pretty effectively took away the run. But we were still able to grind out and great play call out. And I'll give Taysom credit. He was able to grind some runs when he needed it to at least put some points on the board.
Yep. The positive things he did for the team were on the ground. He did fine, and they did enough to get 20 points. You know, I don't know. Listen, I don't know what else there is to say other than we know what BYU is going forward, right? We've stalled out. This is what they are, and I don't know, Tosh. This is the fourth straight game failing to reach the 200-yard passing mark. We passed for 130 yards. That's on 15 to 25 passing, 130 yards, Tosh. You know, and a pick. So there's that, 95 passer rating. The point is just to say that was the 94th best pass defense out there. That's what we were able to accomplish against the 94th best pass defense in college football.
It's terrible. I mean, our passing attack is terrible, and we don't want to beat a dead horse, but how do you watch that game and not talk about it? I mean, that's just the lack of us being able to throw is what just jumps off of the screen when teams are daring us to throw and we can't do it. But that's who we are now with this current
But we had
personnel.
Again,
that is who
it's
we are.
The same thing, though. We did. There was time in the pocket. There were times when the downfield receivers had it. And Trinman is the reason that that long 43-yard completion happened.
He made a great diving catch on a short ball.
That should have been a six.
Totally.
But it was missed.
Here, one thing on that, and that I'm trying to say this as nice as possible, but I, at the beginning of the year, you were all about playing Tanner. I was all about playing Taysom. So I'm not just looking for stats to back up what I thought. I wanted Taysom to be the starter at the beginning of the year. I have since, now I love Taysom. I'm glad he came here. I'm glad what he gave. But I feel like it's time for Tanner. And this game put that even out more to me, because before, the coaches and a lot of fans have tried to place the blame on everyone else.
Or the tough schedule.
And this game against a very terrible pass defense,
yep.
Our offensive line played great. Our receivers, I think, had their best game of the year. That they made some crazy tough catches on bad passes.
Yeah, on that third down, you remember when Kurtz jumped up high in the air and really stretched out and
yeah.
he brought it in? Yeah, that was a great catch.
There was lots of that. I felt like the receivers, there was nothing that the receivers did that you could blame them. This was just a terrible passing attack with lots of bad throws, underthrown balls. And that I just feel like I feel bad for Taysom because he isn't even the passer that he once was. And here's my real honest to goodness take on if I was the coach, I would talk to Taysom, and I don't think this would go well, but I would say,
okay, good.
You have zero chance at this. We're just going to be real with you. You have zero chance of being an NFL quarterback. You, with your size and athleticism, you could play in the NFL at a different position. I think that your best position would be tight end.
Right.
We have a tight end need. Let's have you play tight end these last four games.
What about the Baldries?
I like the Baldries. I like the Baldries. We have, well, what I mean, we're playing tight end by committee.
We are.
And that he could play on that committee. And I think that he could be able to show the world that he could play in the NFL. I think he could make some plays, and that would be his best shot for the NFL. It would also give Tanner... I'm all on board that I don't want LSU to be the first game that Tanner plays in this system. I want him to get used to this system, this scheme, and I'm ready for it now.
Are you sure that even NFL as a tight end is actually a possibility? Do you actually believe that?
I 100% believe it. Size-wise...
Andrew George was pretty darn good, and he didn't make it.
Totally. I think Andrew George was good enough.
Johnny Harleen was pretty darn good, and he didn't make it.
None of those guys are going to be able to run the 40 time that Taysom's going to run.
That's true.
And
can Taysom block like either of them?
Who knows?
Who knows?
He's tough. I mean, he's not afraid of hitting.
He benches more than everybody else on the team.
He can squat more than any O-line. He maybe would put him at left tackle, you know? Like, I think that...
What about the IDs?
That was not a shot at ID. I'm just looking for... I think that we could actually do him a favor with his NFL chances.
Right.
And have him go out still contributing, but be able to do what I think will be best for next year.
Tosh, it's later in the season. Cincinnati's pass defense improved by 11 spots.
Yeah.
They're now 83rd in pass defense after that week. Wow.
Okay, let's talk this upcoming game, because I know it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Coach Lamb has had this game circled the entire year.
It's circled. Keon Norman's got it circled.
Yep. Idy, you just mentioned him.
He's got it circled.
Gilford.
Gennaro Gilford. You know he wants this one bad. The Thunderbirds coming to town, Tosh. And this isn't your typical, at least what we've had over the last couple of years, FCS matchup. And you'll recall a couple of years ago we had a game against Savannah State, who goes down in history as the worst team to ever get to play a game on the field at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in the history of the building.
World. History of the world.
History of the build. Yeah. Of the world. Yeah, that's right. Savannah State was really, really extra terrible. Wagner, also not too great. And we beat both of them very badly, like 70-point wins. Should fans expect a 70-point win against Southern Utah? I say no.
I think it's possible but unlikely. I think this SUU team, they only gave up 20-something points to Utah. They actually played them, and that score, people that watched the game felt like that game was actually closer than that score indicated.
It was.
And so, I mean, this is an above-average FCS team.
It is.
And that I think that they come in and at least play football with us. Well, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win by a decent amount.
Hang on. That's a bold stance by Tosh McIntosh, everybody.
Wagner.
They're going to come in and at least play football.
Wagner and Savannah State, I don't know what they were doing out there, but it wasn't playing football. I think they were just here for small talk. And just watching guys run by.
Remember, there was a moment against Wagner last year when they scored. The fans kind of gave them a hey, like there was sort of
we're the nice guys because we're cheering for
you. We cheered for them. It was the fake nice thing, right?
Yeah,
it's the thing that you notice sometimes. Not you. I'll just put it on me. You know that notice when you get with people and they're like, "Oh, your shirt looks great."
They're just looking for some compliments.
Fake nice, yeah. They just want to instantly be like, oh, yeah. And that's kind of what we did to Wagner when we cheered for them last year.
No doubt.
Okay, here's the thing. I look up on CBS Sports. I decide to look up in their NFL draft. Southern Utah's got 4 players on the big board, Tosh.
And how many do...
They're not slotted to get drafted. But okay. They're in position to at least command a free agent signing, and
they had guys get drafted last year and have guys on rosters this year.
They sure did. So they're 2 guys. Mike Sharp, he's a wide receiver, and they also have Stephen Roblowski. Stephen Roblowski is a tight end. Mike Sharp's a wide receiver. Couple guys that will.
Mike Sharp is averaging just shy of 100 yards receiving a game.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Like, he's been playing well.
Yeah.
Other people that, for BYU fans to look out for, so remember McCoy Hill, BYU player?
Yeah.
He is on their squad, but he's not their starter. They have a guy named Patrick Tyler that's their starting quarterback, mm-hmm. and he's played great.
Would McCoy start here?
No.
Who are we kidding? No way.
His twin brother would over him. But Patrick Tyler has been playing great. He has a 60% completion percentage. They toss the ball around. He's averaging a little over 200 yards passing a game.
That's only okay.
Other players to look out for. They have a guy on their defense by the last name of Hanneman that is R. Hanneman's brother. And that I have heard from people that know the family that it's actually – pretty debatable which one's better. That just because one ended at BYU and one ended at SUU, that the Hanneman down there is quite the player in his own right.
Well, that's interesting. And is he? He's a DB.
Yes.
Joining him as a good DB back there, Josh Thornton. He plays corner, and he's also on the list for a potential NFL opportunity. So, sounds like that's where they're strong in their secondary, Josh, and it sounds like they're good at receiver.
Yeah. For sure. They've got a...
They have a guy that's averaging over 100 yards receiving a game with a quarterback who passes just over 200 yards
a game. So almost 100 yards receiving. Like almost about 90. He's averaging right around 90 yards receiving yards per game. So he's their playmaker. Mike Sharp is the guy to watch on their offense.
All right. Oh, my gosh. You know who's just like rubbing his... He's just like ready to take on the challenge. Mike Davis.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the better Mike.
He didn't even play very much last time.
I'm the better Mike.
That is probably a lot of this week to prove who the better Mike is. Maybe Michael Shelton is in that conversation now that he's been playing lately.
Ooh, yeah, that's
and
good.
And he's trying to prove who the best Mike is.
The fourth guy that we'll throw out there, Tate Lewis, everybody. 6'6", 230-pound punter. Is he going to be the best 6'6" or taller punter in America this year? I've read at least a dozen articles about that. Tate Lewis, is he going to be a big difference maker today for this weekend for the Thunderbirds?
Yes, I think they'll do a plenty of punting. Yeah. We'll be able to see his 6'6 giant frame out there just booming punts.
The question is, on 4th and 19, could he run?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Okay. Lamb is the one that, I mean, he's our special teams coach. So maybe last year he would have tried that there. But now that Lamb's here, that's our call.
All right, that's our stuff. All right, so Tate Lewis, though, 6'6 punter. You got to like that. It just seems kind of like weird. When does a 6'6 guy decide?
How much did you say he weighs?
230.
Okay, so he's skinny. 6'6, 230's it's pretty skinny.
Yeah.
230 sounds big to the average population. When you stretch that on a 6'6 frame, he's wiry.
Yeah. Tell Tate Lewis, anybody.
And we all know NFL, all these colleges, college football, they exaggerate up on weight. We put that guy on a scale, he's 205. Right. He's going to be tall, skinny punter. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to see Tate Lewis kick out there. So, really am.
So, I mean, in all reality, SUU has some decent players.
Yes.
I think
they play hard.
The thing to watch is, will Taysom be able to pass against this defense? And I think he has the most to gain. Not, he doesn't have much to gain. He has the most to lose in this game. If Taysom is missing receivers and is unable to drive down the field through a passing game, it will destroy his legacy.
Whoa! I don't even think that's possible, Tosh. He's already had... I don't see how he gets out of this fact that he's playing the worst senior season by a starting quarterback.
Well, he's always going to be remembered for what he did to Texas. I will always hold some joy in my heart about the butt whoopings and the fun games that he did to Texas.
His ability to run was...
But I think right now, he could ride into the sunset, and in 3 to 4 or 5 years, people would look back with somewhat mixed feelings, but I think mostly positive towards Taysom.
I think it'll always be that way.
I think if he can't, pass the ball,
the goodwill from the Texas games is going to go out the window if he can't pass.
If he's unable to pass, there will be boobirds. Like, can you imagine? This is
I have to say, man, I had a mild freak out when they went for it on 4th and 7 on the 25-yard line on the opening drive. You remember this?
Yes.
I was sitting there, I was pulling up my numbers, because I like my numbers, and I got looking at it, and I thought, the odds of completing a pass, they ended up throwing the ball to the right side of the field, okay? In that spot, the odds, based on previous performance in 2016, the odds of completing a pass for a first down in that spot, okay, were 22%. So I have to wonder, okay, Rhett Allman kicking a 42-yard field goal from the right hash, is he worse than a 22% field goal kicker in that circumstance?
But the other math guy in me says that I'm not against it going for it.
Tie the game. You didn't know how – we know the game, how the game ended now.
But a field goal only gets you 3 points.
And it ties the game.
So really, though, it's more than – a touchdown's more than double the points. So really – Really, you got to look at it, is Almond getting a 44% chance of hitting it when you're looking at odds per point?
I understand what you're saying, but in the circumstance, you tie the game. Just tie the effing game.
I didn't mind going for it. It was putting Taysom in a chance that's not his strength, though, passing on a 4th and 7.
All right.
Anyway, that is my thing. I am excited to watch.
So this is the challenge. Tosh is challenging Taysom Hill right now.
I'm hoping he does it.
Obviously.
I feel good for Taysom. But there is a lot more riding on this game than people realize. If Taysom cannot pass against SUU, that is going to be noticed by everybody.
There has never been a season, as far back as game logs go, this is second podcast in a row, but never been a season where we've gone the whole year without a game of reaching 300 yards passing. We're 9 games into this one, Tosh. We've got 3 left, okay, and a bowl game, potentially. Definitely, right?
Yeah, we're going to win one out of the next 3, yeah.
So he's got 4 more cracks at it, right? I don't feel good about the bowl game being the spot where he does it. Because that'll be a pretty good team. Second place team in the Mountain West.
We'll be ranked. We'll be ranked.
No,
we will. Like, the team that we play. I probably said that with a Utah accent.
Okay.
The second ranked team in the Mountain West will be ranked.
Okay.
So we're going to play a ranked team in the bowl game.
So here's the deal. So he's got to do it against either Southern Utah, Massachusetts, or Utah State. The odds would indicate that this is the week.
Yes. The other ones are at least FBS opponents.
Right. Here's the thing, though. Like, Utah struggled passing against Southern Utah.
Yeah. Their O-line struggled against
Southern Utah's pass defense really going to be that much worse than Cincinnati's?
I think so. I think from an across-the-board talent perspective, if they played this weekend, I would have Cincy be a two.
But they got a Hanneman back there.
That is true.
They got a Hanneman back there.
We have equal amount of Hannemans. And so on that, it's about sixes who's going to win this game.
Equal animates. I like that. All right. Well, it is an interesting thing for us to kind of take a look at. And I think you're right. There is pressure. There is pressure in this game because if they can't pass here, there's questions about Taysom Hill. But is there a chance we should be questioning Ty?
Well, I think the question is fair. I actually think his schemes have been pretty good.
I mean, what I'm seeing, too.
I think guys have got open. I like the routes. I like the play calls for the most part.
Right.
With this sort of offensive production, it's totally fair to ask that question. For what my eyes have seen, I don't put blame on Ty, except is Ty really playing the best players at each position? And we're all talking about one position that I'm not convinced that he is. But at the same time, I'm not seeing practice. So I try to give coaches the benefit of the doubt. And maybe what he's seeing in practice is showing him. But
Tanner must be horrible in practice.
He must have regressed a lot from last year.
He must be really bad.
Which is weird. That's what I don't know. It's a strange phenomenon.
Here's the thing where I'm at, Tosh, is there's no way, under any circumstances, that we're going to see Tanner Mangum this year.
At all?
I don't think we're going to see him.
No, we will see him. Yeah, no, we're going to see him.
What is the gap on the scoreboard? What does it take to get Tanner Mangum on the field against Utah State?
If we're up 28 in the third or 21 or more in the fourth. Mm-hmm. And I think they put him in, and I actually think they passed the ball with him.
No. So there's no way. Why would they pass? No. They're not going to – listen, I know that you're not going to agree with this, but why make yourself vulnerable by allowing Tanner to pass? I mean, what if he's a lightning rod? I mean, he starts really throwing darts out there.
Then I think they're happy for him. I actually think if I've learned one thing from this season – and it actually makes me respect the coaches. I don't think they give a dang what the fans think on who they should play. And so I don't think they're I don't think they're worried about putting Tanner out there and passing it.
I think if Tanner goes out there, and I mean he looks sharp, really, really sharp. And yes, it's just Southern Utah, but there's a chance that in one quarter he could outpass Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
At that point.
Totally. And
if he outpasses in terms of yards, in terms of downfield, if he outpasses him in one quarter, I'm sorry, that opens themselves up to a whole can of worms that I don't think that they want to face. They're human, Tosh. I just think that he will hand off the football and get out of that game and not worry about
the argument
injuries.
Could be maybe they don't want to create it for the locker room or for the team, but I don't think they care. I think they have shown that although they are very fan friendly, they are not worried about ticking off. Like, because they've had plenty of times where surely they're hearing from ward members, family members, text messages after games of like, hey,
homo probably.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we give Tanner a chance? But they are sticking to their guns.
I mean, Tom Homo famously gave Bronco a hard time for continuing to start Riley Nelson.
Yeah. I
So there's a strong chance that Tom Holmo has said
something. I think they've stuck to their game plan. I am a firm believer, though, that we will see Tanner that I think he's going to get actually decent snaps this game, and that he's going to have games that he plays quite a bit for the rest of the year.
See, I disagree with you. I think that they have to be up 35 for him to get in. I think that's the only way, and I think that they'll only have him handed off. That's what I think.
What if they play him at tight end, just as the ultimate double birds to the crowd?
they play Mangum at tight end.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Oh, that would be crazy. All right. Well, anyway, I mean, that's sort of the main thing. Also, one piece of news that we'll cover, and then we'll get to 10 for Tosh. But today, Elisa Tuiaki announced for 2017 the return of Sione Takitaki.
Which, that is incredible news. Our team, if he can stay on the up and up, I think they play him in a similar role.
Defensive end,
sorry. Yeah, I think they play him in a similar role that they played Harvey Longhi in. But I think Harvey's a great athlete, but Takitaki is more built to be an outside pass rusher. He's a better outside pass rusher than anyone we have on the current squad. And that is great news for next season.
He didn't put his hand in the ground, but he sort of played at the defensive end in the monster set for Bronco.
Yeah.
And he did a good job in it. But there's a whole different thing of attacking that offensive lineman when your hand's in the ground, right?
So maybe they just use him as a third down rusher, but at least he's going to give them different looks and, yeah, be a great addition.
Tuiaki's already said it's his best pass rusher. So
he agrees with me.
He agrees with you.
Nice.
Now it's time for 10 for Tosh. Ten questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, over or under 50,000 fans at Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday?
We will have over 50,000 fans, which is great. That is one thing that I think that this season has even proved again to me. We have an incredible fan base.
Sure.
And that we were a 500 team and shocked a lot of people with how many fans we had show up to a Cincinnati game. And that this weekend again, we will have a near sellout crowd against an SUU, which is awesome.
What do you think of fans that shame their own fans? Meaning, I think it's funny when people are, you're not wearing the right color of the game. It's like, you made the effort to come to the game, all right? I've actually seen people literally, you know, stop somebody as they're walking to the stage. It's like, you're not wearing the right color, you know. Go to the store and get the right color, you know. It's light this week.
I, as a rule, say that we shouldn't tell fans how to fan.
Yeah.
That I want to be kind of open tent fan guy. Oh, open tent? Big
I like
tent,
it.
I think,
yeah,
might be the
that's
more...
Fine.
I'm an open big tent. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
So what I think, though, but I am also a guy that thinks if they're trying to have you wear a certain color to the game,
well, try.
At least try.
Try,
but I'd rather you there. I would rather that you there wearing the wrong color for maybe some sort of money circumstances or time circumstances,
you
or
got
you
had
to go straight
sell,
from
and
somewhere,
yeah, yeah.
And that's whatever. I want you there.
Also, can I just one more thing on this? What do you think of the fans shaming other fans, where it's like your stadium is not sold out? So I've seen a lot of people slamming Boise State because they didn't completely fill up their stadium for Boise versus.
I'm fine with that. I think we can tease other fans.
Like,
I'm fine mocking other fans.
But we're not great at selling out.
Yeah, and they can mock us. Like, I think. You're
all
just
right.
Trying to play nice guy fan.
No, I just don't understand. I just don't understand, like, what's to gain from that?
Pride. The root of all evil.
I guess so. I guess the reason that I bring it up is just because I don't really see, like, I kind of understand why people don't want to go, why everywhere in college football people are not filling their stadiums. Like, more and more people are choosing not to go to games.
Correct.
And so that's not necessarily a statement or an indictment about the fanhood of a particular university. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that Boise State doesn't have support. They have a lot of support. right? I don't know.
It's indicative of their support. Just that.
Yeah, I but think, we don't sell out our games.
Yeah, but we're going to have near 60,000 people against an FCS opponent in a year that we're not great. So I think it's indicative that we have a really solid, strong, big fan base.
Question number two, does Taysom Hill play in the second half against Southern Utah?
Yes, he does. And he doesn't play. Taysom will not play the entire second half. We will see Tam.
Yeah, I think he most definitely plays the second half. He's not getting benched at halftime. There's just, I don't see it.
Against those other small squads, that was what was normal.
Yeah, that is what's normal. Yeah, but at the same time, normal hasn't really applied this year. And beyond that, I think they'll be worried about, even if they're up by 50, Tosh, they'll be worried about disrupting the momentum and continuity of the team.
No.
That's been the problem in the past. Question number three, who besides Jamal Williams plays at tailback this Saturday? Obviously, Squally, injured, Riley Byrd, redshirt candidate.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm actually thinking that we see a lot of algae again, that we see a big bruiser, especially against a smaller size team. Algae will be getting the second most rushing attempts this week.
That was one of the most fun parts of watching the Wagner game last year. It was Algernon Brown running and these guys just like bouncing off him.
And Paul Asike back in the day, you know, just running guys over.
Question number four, how many guys, burn their red shirts up this Saturday.
If you remember these sort of games in the Bronco era, he was burning red shirts right and left, just ticking people
absolutely
off.
Absolutely.
I actually know from players that are on the current team that they're mad that
this is their last
season.
They're about to graduate and they got to play 10 downs against
someone crappy.
Savannah State.
Yeah. I think this staff will not burn red shirts. I'm going to go with zero burnt red shirts this Saturday.
Yeah, they like Kiefer Longson lines up as a tackle.
Yeah, exactly. They're not. It's not gonna happen.
All right. Question number five. Which quarterback will have the highest pass per attempt?
Pass efficiency rating.
Oh, sorry. PER. I thought you were in basketball mode.
I'm going.
Player efficiency rating, right?
Yes.
John Hollinger. But you mean, so passer efficiency.
Who's going to have the higher quarterback rating or PER?
Yeah, you're right, PER. Yeah.
I am going to go with, it's a toss-up. Taysom will have the higher rating, but SUU's quarterback is good. And that it's going to be, I think that it's going to, I actually think this game is going to be a struggle for the passing game again. And that Taysom is going to barely squeak out the quarterback ratings victory.
All right. You're not including Tanner in that?
No. Nope.
Okay. Question number six. Do the players bring up how they have to win this game for Ed Lamb and Gennaro Guilford?
No, they don't. But I'm still, they will not bring it up in the public. But I am curious if we were a fly on the wall in that locker room, if it does get brought up. Because I know that on the SUU side, you better believe it's getting brought up. That there's a lot of their players that are mad that their head coach left. And that not only that he talked several of their good players into transferring with him. Like, if that was us, we'd be ticked,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we would.
You know, and so it for sure is going to give some fuel to the SUU players.
There a chance. Yeah, well, and why didn't he ask me to transfer?
Exactly. There's a lot of animosity in those sort of situations.
Yeah. There's room for spite here that might make this a little bit tougher.
Sure, maybe it ends in another
fouls.
Memphis
maybe we should have had a personal fouls question on the temper time. How many will there be a Memphis-esque-like fight afterwards? Okay, question number seven. Does BYU create more turnovers on defense than they give up touchdowns?
Yes.
So that's a defensive question.
We will. BYU's defense will cause more turnovers than they will give up in touchdowns.
Okay.
It's going to be, they will cause four turnovers.
And they will not give up four touchdowns.
And they will not. They're going to give up two touchdowns. We're not a team against a lesser opponent that cares about the shutout. And so it's going to go 4 turnovers to 2 touchdowns allowed.
Are you sure that we're not that team? It's a new regime, Tosh.
We'll find out. I don't think historically we have not been that team.
Yeah, but that's what Utah is.
That's true.
Is there a chance that Kalani's going to be like that?
He's a defensive, passionate man. I wouldn't mind it.
By the way, we haven't seen like the big Kalani celebration. Do you think that's gone now?
No, it's still simmering. There's been no reason to give it.
Nothing to celebrate.
Not a big giant outpouring of a dance.
No more like gorilla, chest pounding.
Not yet.
All right, question number 8. Will the Poinsettia Bowl invitation receive a standing ovation? So after the game.
I love how they try to make it like we should be surprised that we're getting this invite when we have all known for years that this is coming. The answer is no. That I'm hoping people don't boo, because I think that there's enough of the fan base that's kind of bitter about the bowl game.
No, there shouldn't be a reason.
I don't think... But there will not be a standing ovation. And I actually think it's going to be against... I'm excited to play a ranked opponent from the Mountain West. So, no standing, but some mild golf claps.
I mean, it's funny how this has worked out. Because, it turns out that the second place team in the Mountain West ends up being a pretty darn good team, potentially. Question 9. Southern Utah sacked the University of Utah twice when they played. Over under on Southern Utah sacks 2.
BYU will give up over 2 sacks. Ooh. But part of that
those guys going after Norman and Idy, huh?
They will. We're going to give up 3 sacks. Oh. But part of that is that I think more than in previous games, we're going to try to hold on to the ball longer, throw it downfield, take bigger shots. And that this pass rush of the SUU is pretty decent. They were in the backfield a lot more than 2 sacks shows against Utah. And, I think that how we're going to try to add some new wrinkles, try some new things, and we will give up 3 sacks.
Question number 10, what will the Sunday morning headline be?
The Sunday morning headline will be, is this country headed for doom with the recent elections? I think that BYU's victory...
Don't do this. Come on.
BYU, I'm not going political here.
It's CougarCast, man. This is a beautiful spot.
I'm excited for the game, but like we're in a weird spot this week that I don't think there's anything BYU could do that's going to put it in a big headline.
Right.
And so the fans that are listening to this, they're passionate. I mean, they're listening every week right now.
Yeah.
But the SUU game, it brings up some interesting headlines. But the only ones that I think are going to be a big headline is if something goes bad. Like, that's the only way that we create buzz this week.
I loved though, the way that you were able to create something there where this is actually, is this like a mini pressure-filled game for Taysom Hill?
The only headline could be Taysom gets stuffed by SUU defense. Like, yeah, that would be a headline. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's, I think, the odds-on favorite to be any sort of popping headline from this game.
More likely outcome. Taysom Hill throws over 400 yards. I'll make it 11 for Tosh this week. Over 400 yards or under 200 yards?
Under 200.
It has to be, right?
Yeah. They're going to be able to stack the box and be able to try to force us to throw over the top. And it's not a matter of our guys not getting open. Against Cincinnati, we had at least 3, probably 4 times that we attempted throwing the ball to wide open guys deep down the field. Only 1 was completed.
Hey, they got a PI on 1, so that helped.
Yep.
So throwing downfield, obviously important. It helps open things up for your running game and makes things just better overall. Makes you more explosive. We scored one of our touchdowns on that explosive play to Trinneman. So there you go. Tosh, listen, we got Southern Utah this week. Let's make our final predictions on this one. I think that this is going to be a slog, Tosh. I think it'll be similar to what they did against Utah. It's a huge game for Southern Utah. And so they were pretty good last year. They lost some guys to the NFL. But I still think that there's a lot of talent down there. So I think this game will be a 27-7 game.
All right. That's not that far off my thing. So I will remind our listeners that SUU almost beat Utah State last year. They had them beat all except a punt return in the final minutes. That this team can scrap. I still think we're the better team.
Yes.
We will win 31-14.
This seems like a defense could score more than offense game, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Our defense is legit, as we started off with. Defense is the one that could make this game get out of hand.
All right, well, surprisingly long episode this week on Southern Utah Week, but hey, that's what you get. You know, a lot of excitement in this room about Southern Utah. So thank you very much for listening, and go Cougars.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!